high school chaplain now, I like to go around and visit the various classrooms, and sometimes they're not doing much, and I can come in and kind of talk to them, but at other times, they might be taking a quiz. And if you remember back to your high school years, there's nothing more dreaded than the pop quiz. That moment of terror when the teacher says, "Tell you what, why don't we just put away our books and we'll take a little test?" Oh my goodness. You can just see the dread on the students' faces, and that's when I know it's time for me to leave, because things are about to get difficult. We say a quick prayer to St. Jude, the patron saint of hopeless causes, and then I'm out the door and the students are left with their quiz. There's something very dramatic about all of a sudden being called to account for what you know. Let's see how much you really know. It just dreads fear into the hearts of students. Our readings today are meant to perhaps inspire a little bit of that fear. Jesus says, through St. Paul in our second reading, that the Lord is coming like a thief in the night. Nothing could perhaps be more unprepared for than a thief in the night. I remember very much when I was living in Lawrence before I was a priest, my roommate Matt and I had a security system on my house, and it was one of those things that monitored the phone line, so if a thief cut your phone line to disconnect your alarm, that the alarm would go off to let you know. Well, I remember one night, it was the middle of the night, and all of a sudden the alarm starts going off. It's like, you're out of bed really quick, and I'm like, what's going on? No one's breaking in. The doors are secure. So is someone outside? And they cut the phone line, and Matt comes down with his baseball bat in one hand and a crucifix in the other. And he's like, where are they at? Where are they at? And we're at that moment, we were called to kind of, what will we do if someone's going to break into our house right now and we have no phone? And oh my goodness, it was quite a moment to kind of panic a little bit. And then we realized that no, the stupid phone company had just decided they would randomly turn off our phone for a little bit. So when my phone was reconnected, we recalled and we realized that, thank goodness, there was no actual danger. But that kind of drama of a thief coming in the night or a pop quiz, they're all meant to kind of be held out today as images for us of what it could be like on the last day. Is Jesus going to show up in our life completely unexpected? Well, on one hand, yes, for no one knows the day or the hour. But on the other hand, for a student that's ready for the pop quiz, it's like, okay, I'm there. I've been preparing, I've been studying, I've been doing my homework. Let's see how I do. And maybe they don't do perfectly, but it's not this incredible moment of terror. To some extent, Matt was ready. He had his baseball bat and his crucifix. So he was somewhat ready for a thief that might come. Jesus wants us to be prepared. And so this whole month of November, as we come to the end of our year, we get some time to focus on the end. But particularly, the good news for us is that although we might not know the day, we actually know what's on the test. We've got not only the questions that will be asked when Jesus shows up, but also the answers. All we have to do is look at the sacred scriptures and we see what's on the test at the end. Well, it says at the end of life we'll be judged on our love. How well did we love? How well did we love God? How well did we love neighbor? We see that described beautifully in the Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus says at the end of the time we'll be judged on, did you give me a cup of water when I was thirsty, or visit me in prison, or clothe me when I was naked? Of course, we're told that whenever we did those for the least of our brothers, we did them for Jesus. We know that's on the test. We also know in our gospel today, part of what is on the test at the end of time is how lovingly did we use what God gave us? Did we live our lives in a spirit of thanksgiving, happy that God had entrusted such great gifts and wealth to us? Did we use it well? That will be on the test at the end. This gospel today is a very interesting one because it goes against a little bit of what we might think today. You see, there's one person who's given more than the others, and even another person who's given less than this third one. There's something today that we have this tendency, especially in a democracy like America, that everybody should be equal. There's something that almost says somebody shouldn't have more than somebody else. Now, we know that's not our Catholic tradition. We see very much in scriptures that each is given according to his ability. God knows that this man is very capable of taking 5 talents, which was a huge amount of wealth. 5 talents, and to make more. He knows that that other man has ability, but maybe not quite as much as that one, so he's given 2. And that last man, I think we can perhaps see sometimes a bit of ourselves in that. Because we might look and we see the saints and it seems like, oh my goodness, they are so incredibly holy and they lived lives where, I mean, they would allow themselves to be tortured for love of God. They loved him so much. Maybe we look at that and say, I'm not like that. Maybe we don't think that we've been given that kind of faith. Maybe some of us have. But the grave mistake we would make would be to make the mistake of this one man here who was given 1 talent. To think somehow that because we don't have the supernatural charity of the saints, of the martyrs, that somehow nothing is expected of us. Or to somehow think that God would only expect little of us. God expects of us just as much as he knows we are capable of. And the truth is, we are capable of greatness. We are capable of holiness. No matter what our state in life, no matter how many or how few gifts we think we've been given, God has given you the talents that he did because he knows precisely that you are capable of doing great things with what he has given you. So as we look at this gospel, we know what we can't do is bury our talent. And granted, that's symbolic, but how do we bury our talent in our lives? Maybe we think that we just are not expected very much. I'm just an ordinary Catholic. Just an ordinary lay person. The end of our gospel, I think, is spoken precisely to those of us who think maybe we are just ordinary. It says, "For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will grow rich. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." Again, that seems like, shouldn't the man with a whole lot give to the person who has little? Jesus says, no, the man with a whole lot has a whole lot because he worked hard, he used his talents, and he was good at it. The man who has little, and in the end just has 1 talent, only has 1 talent because he wasn't very good. He wasn't a faithful servant. So it would just be squandering the master's money to give more to that person. The moral of the story is that even if we have little, we've got to work to make it as much fruit as possible. Because if we think that we can get through life by just being average, or thinking that we can be kind of Catholic, or sort of committed to Jesus, it tells us plainly, the little that we have, it'll be gone, taken away. If we are not constantly living in a spirit of generosity, grateful for what God has given us, trying to bear great fruit in the world, if we do not live with largeness of heart, the virtue of magnanimity, if we're not doing that, it's hopeless. Jesus says, even the little we have will be taken away because we weren't worthy of it. Now, these readings today, yes, they're meant to challenge us, to engage us, even to maybe scare us a little bit, to think, what will it be like to stand before Jesus? I pray that in these last few weeks here before Advent, we might really look well at our lives. To see, do I have that spirit of generosity, of love for what God has given me? For in the end, we are judged on love, and to use what God has given us to bring about great fruit in the world is how we tell God we love him. We don't look at others and see what they've got. We say, God, thank you for what you have given me, and with what you have given me, I will go do great things. If we do that, then we know at the end of our life, we need not fear the pop quiz. Rather, we will stand before Jesus with our sins in need of his mercy. But in the end, we will hear those beautiful words. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You were faithful in small matters. So now, come, share your master's joy.